Bobby Matos and his Afro-Latin Jazz Ensemble with Miles Davis's All Blues, which first appeared on Davis's 1959 album, Kind of Blue. Matos and his Afro-Latin Jazz Ensemble honor Davis by including the tune in his 2006 album, Gratitude. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. The madness continues in Washington. There's a lot of stuff happening. But in a way, we should drop everything and pay attention only to these things. Not. They will go on for some time, so we'll have more than enough time, more than enough opportunity to follow up on major developments in the inquiry into the president and his administration. A couple of things still to note, and that is Mr. Assange has gotten a kind of reprieve, but not totally yet. The government has decided that they will basically withdraw charges against him. But we don't know what the rest is, or if there is another shoe to drop. But the government of Sweden says it is dropping the rape investigation against him because obviously they don't seem to have all the pieces together. And the case as it exists right now has fallen apart. So that's good news for Julian Assange. He has been held in a British jail for, I think, since 2010. It's almost going into a decade now. So that gives reason for people to be very hopeful that he will be let out, but that begins another chapter in this very sordid story. Even if he's let out, it doesn't mean he's free. Somebody else would probably take up the challenge. Some other country would probably take up the challenge. And that might even include the original charge and see whether they can still go ahead and litigate this case. I'm hoping that basically, since it is acknowledged by major parties, that they can't go forward with the case because they have no real solid evidence on which to base the charges against him. So that's, I'm sure, has come with a great deal of assurance for the supporters of Julian Assange. So that's one good thing. The trial or the inquiry into President Clinton and some of the highest placed members of his staff continues in Washington, D.C., but we haven't seen too many explosions yet. They'll soon be coming, and people will be reacting. And it's on that matter, basically, that we're going to just take off on our own little jaunt, related, but certainly separate. And it has to do with the question whether the current political crisis in Washington, that is to say the trial by Congress of the president and his possible impeachment for abusing his power and authority for his own gain. Well, of course, this is a multifaceted situation, and it looks like it would last quite a bit longer, because there are so many moving parts to the what you would think would be a straightforward issue. But I'm wondering whether the hearings and the inquiry as a whole have caused you to re-examine your own political attitudes. In what ways do you feel personally affected by this trial? And as specific as you can go, what has this trial caused you to think or rethink about your country, about politics in general, about your own orientation, your own political orientation? Has it caused you to reflect? Has it caused you to rethink this entire system as to whether it's working, not working? Could it be made to work better? If so, how? But it occurred to me that it's like a fishbowl. We're looking into a fishbowl because we really are not close to this discussion, this national discussion. We haven't taken it on. We haven't asked questions about it. What is it supposed to mean to us? What is it supposed to mean about this concept that people talk so much about, the concept of democratic rule? Do we feel any particular passion about this, or is this just a routine? Have we come to know Trump simply? Have we come to a conclusion about Trump? If so, what is that conclusion? Do we have any thoughts about where this whole thing is going? What questions is it raising for us as a nation? And frankly, do you care? Do we care? I know, I have no problem admitting it, this whole thing has me very angry. Because it's feeling more and more like government, not by and for the people, but government against the people. Government orchestrated to subjugate the people, to make us feel like we are less partners in this thing called democracy and more targets and victims of it. And we feel clearly in the most recent weeks that this is not the arrangement we signed up for. They're doing their thing in Washington. We're not necessarily invited into the process, although they are broadcasting it live to the extent that they can. But I get the feeling now, more than in all these years gone by, I get the feeling that there is a line of demarcation in this thing we call democracy. And we are not allowed to cross the line. We're not even allowed to come close to it, because that is seen as a threat. We instantly become the enemy. And yet we see what crooks are running the country. No sense of, what should I say? No sense of patriotism either. A very marked attitude of derision that they are holding the strings of power, the reins of power, which have now become strings in some cases. And they get away with things that were only imagined in centuries, but they are operating like organized crime, except for these Republicans, it's more like disorganized crime. So I thought we should talk about this, because I think many more people than just myself are feeling a great deal of anger and disappointment and disgust that this is what is leading this country. This is the best we can produce. This is the highest order. The answer is yes. Unfortunately, this is what it is. So we're going to talk about that today. How does the moment, the historical moment, strike you? What do you feel? How are you handling it? Where do you think all of this would lead? At 888-874-4888. We have Chris from Harlem. Chris, what are you thinking?
Good day, Yatrice and Peace family.
Thank you. And good day to you.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to try and be as straightforward as possible. I believe that the system is working exactly how it's supposed to work. I believe that the disorder and conflicting values, which change 2 and 3 times per generation now, it allows the politicians to run the show, make as much bank as possible, which allows industry and multinationals to make as many moves as they want to, which makes international banks more and more and more and more quantitative easing and more money for them. So I think it works perfectly for them. So I also think that the hearings, whatever, the show on television right now, I actually am happy about it, because it makes it clear for the record for all to see that there is no allegiance to the concept of the United States of America or the people of the United States of America. When you have people who can rationalize the most ridiculous and embarrassing points of view, not for the good of the people, but simply to hold the line, whatever the line is, there's no patriotism, there's no united sense of a culture, American culture. It is, I should say, first and foremost, I'm not in this fight. African American, up south, okay? This is not new to us, but it's on the record for those who call themselves other to see how they behave. It's traitorous. It's always been traitorous. It's disgusting. That's really my point. Thank you.
All right, but hold on for a second.
I'm not going nowhere.
Okay, that's good to know.
Thank you.
But how are you feeling about these things? Because it's in your face.
45 years old, so-called X generation. Beginning of the 90s, I truly believe that my particular generation were beyond all of this stuff. Still racism and all of that stuff. Still prejudice, got you. All right. But this is devilish. Because it does no people any good. It benefits none of the people. So how do I feel? I'm so disappointed in my generation. Actually, because we're falling for the okey-doke. Yet at the same time, I must say, as I wanted to call in last week to speak on this, the primary reason why people aren't saying anything is because we're all held hostage. People's 401ks are invested in the stock market. So managers and aspiring executives have stock incentives tied to corporations, which shuts them up in terms of having any critical or oppositional opinion on anything. It's keep quiet. Stock market is rising. Your 401k is in it. And if you decide to get on the bandwagon against the stock market or how things are going, then that's going to hurt your retirement fund. So we're all held hostage. Excuse me.
I'm listening very intently to what you're saying, because not only is it profound, it is profoundly true. I cannot find any disagreement with what you have said so far. And that is itself a bit worrisome. Because we, in back in the day, maybe about 10 years ago, even up that close,
mm-hmm.
we could find things to disagree on. But more and more, the conditions of life, that the life that we're living now, are making us see, those of us who care to just take the time, how close we are, how the gap has closed up, and it is now more an us and them situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How are you dealing with it?
The strength of the family, as I have said, is the thing that will drive us and carry us through. The family outlasts all nations throughout time. So how am I dealing with it? I am trying to laugh a little bit more. Much more reading, listening to others, calming myself in fits of rage, which are unhelpful to anyone, and working on trying to redirect that in the verbal back and forth with actually saying something that's useful. Because my anger, my rage has to do with caring about a better way. It's not about making that other person feel bad. So that's really how I personally am trying to work on it. And I'm also dad, so I have to work on it. So, as I said, family outlasts any nation throughout time. But we have to remember we're family.
Thank you so much, Chris. I couldn't think of a better person to start off our program today. Thank you so much.
You.
E from Edgewater, you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Yatrice.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. I hope you and the PRN family are doing well also.
Thank you for that. That's a good thought.
Yes, so the last caller is on the right track. This TV show we're watching, the Trump show, is just a distraction to keep us busy, because we've been conditioned for hundreds of years that politics and the government is this important thing. It's now taken like a much lower level. You asked the caller Friday who they is. Who's they? They is the 1% that are getting bigger and bigger as I'm speaking. More and more people are becoming billionaires, millionaires. They're getting bigger. We're getting smaller. If you listen to Gary Null, he talks about the water is not in this state. There's no water in this state. Australia's out of water. India's out of water. If there's no water, no food can be grown. What's all these people going to do? Are they going to wait till they're all starving and running out in the streets, killing each other? I mean, things have to be, they feel that the population has to come down.
You come a little closer to home and tell us what is happening nationally. What is going on? What is it that is happening in our lives now? And how are you coping with it? How do you think it would turn out that people as a whole, what are they likely to do in this moment in the country where it's in crisis? And in crisis, people tend to do some really, you know, risque things that would cost them in the end. What are you feeling about this moment in our collective history?
Yeah, it's a very it's a sobering moment. There's when you know something's happened, or you think you know what's in store for us down the line. It could be 10 years from now, 20 years from now. But, I mean, it's happening now in small places. People are being eliminated. I mean, what I want to get through to people is that don't get tricked into thinking that Mother Nature's striking back at us. That storm that sat over the Bahamas for 30 hours, 180 mile an hour, that's not a normal hurricane. No hurricane has ever behaved in that way. I've been around 65 years. I've never seen a hurricane behave. So whether I'm wrong or right, are they making these storms stronger by artificially doing something, these chemtrails? I want people to understand, they don't want blood in their hands. If they can take out a whole town, a whole city with a hurricane, tornado, earthquake, the earthquake in Haiti probably was a construct.
But
if they take people out that way.
I want you to get close to the subject. You're kind of a little bit off. I want you to address the moment that we're in. What is this moment that we're in? As a nation,
I've already explained that the moment that we're in, why Bill Gates, one of the richest men in the world, is over in Africa making sure kids get their vaccines. That's part of genocide, but they're doing it in a way that people aren't seeing it as genocide. And when a hurricane wipes out a whole city, a flood, a tsunami, a firestorms, floods. When these things happen and wipe out whole cities, whole towns, this isn't Mother Nature striking back. This isn't Mother Nature batting left. This is Mother Nature getting pumped up by artificial means. So we shouldn't be thinking that it's just Mother Nature. No, the governments, the people that are on the top, all the rich people, they know what's in store for us. and they want to save themselves and some of us. In order to save some of us, then half of this population of the world has to be eliminated. And they're doing it with these events, these natural disasters, but they're not natural, is what I'm saying. Okay?
Okay, I get it. I was thinking that you would talk about the impeachment or pending impeachment or possible impeachment of the President of the United States.
Okay, I could talk about that.
What does it mean to you?
Yeah, it means that it's a TV show that they want us to stay watching because it's an important thing in our minds. It's important because it's the government, and we depend on the government for our lives, right? This is real important, but it's not so important to them anymore. It's the shadow government is running things, and the one we're seeing with Trump and Pelosi, they're all actors in the game. They're much lower, but they have our attention. They have us in their grasp. We have to watch the news every day. We have to tune into you and talk about this every day. We don't talk about other issues, the things that Gary Noll brings up about the water shortages all over the place. Once in a while, you have a guest on that talks about what's going on in Puerto Rico, what's going on in Haiti, what happens with the Clintons. But we're mostly focused on this Trump show. And that's the way. That's why they spent 20 years getting Donald Trump ready for this. He wasn't able to do this. When Lincoln says, oh, Trump's full of confidence, he goes, has a rally, he knows that nothing's going to happen to him bad as long as he plays this game. When you know ahead of time that everything's going to be fine for you, you can be confident. You can be brimming with all kinds of pompousness. That's exactly what he's doing. Most people that would be in his position for the last 3 years are always being investigated. They'd be nervous. Remember Nixon? He was sweating. Every pore of his body was sweat. How come Trump's so confident? How come he's so able to deal with this? He just has a rally. He go out and play golf, do this and do that. It's a show that we're hypnotized by, and we have to watch it. And that's how they're stealing our minds. When Willie says, "Don't give your mind up," there's no voting anymore. They select who that gets voted. I'm not saying there's no polling places where you go and you select who you want to select. You turn the dials or flip the switch, whatever you do. But what happens after that? Does it really go get tallied somewhere? Or did it just want us to feel that we have that right? And I really don't understand how we ever got that thought into our mind that we, with no power, would be given this power to pick the one who's going to lead us. How they convinced us of that without really giving us that power is really amazing to me. It's
all right.
Very
well
done.
Thanks for contributing today. Thank you very much, E, for your thoughts.
You.
We go next to Brooklyn. David, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Yatrice.
Hello.
You know, I look at this in a very simple way. The ruling class that runs the empire that's all over the world, that interferes with people's business and elections all over the world, has a plan. The ruling class's plan is to enrich itself into infinity forever. And the plan involves having to control the people that exist outside of the ruling class. So all of these things, such as the impeachment that's going on, that is interesting. It gets people's attention. But that does not change the nature of the system that we live in. We still have imperialism. we still have the same people who are at the top, the 1% in that area, that control the world. So as long as you can divert people's attention from what they are doing to other things like, for example, impeachment, that's fine with them. So people have to understand that the capitalist system that's in charge essentially all over the world wants to continue enriching itself without limit. And all these other things, these so-called political parties and so forth that exist, you have to keep the people entertained. You have to control their minds. You have to control their education, and I put that in quotation marks, because it's not really education, it's training. People have to get it, because if people were educated, they'd be empowered, and we haven't got a system like this. Now, in terms of thinking that you can peacefully change this by getting those people who rule to just voluntarily do the right thing and operate in the interest of the people that live in the United States and the world, that is ludicrous. They in no way are going to give up their ability to exploit the people and of the world and be the stewards of the environment. They're not going to do it, because their goal is one thing, and that is profit for itself. So regardless of who is president, and they manipulate so that they can control who gets to run in these sham elections, you know, we still have imperialism, we still have endless wars, we still have welfare system that benefits the rich at the expense of the many. Nothing changes. The only way that's really going to change is rebellion. And they are pretty good at staffing rebellion. They have all the military power that exists that control people. And with their propaganda system called "quote unquote education" and other forms of media, they are so good at confusing the people's minds that things continue. To me, it reminds my early years when I used to go with my family to the circus, and we see this lion tamer in the cage with maybe 10 lions. And he's able to manipulate and control those lions. So that's what you have. The people are lions, and they're being controlled by the lion tamer, which is the ruling class and all its apparatus. And that's what's going on today and will continue to go on. The only way that it would really change is a rebellion. And they are very good at handling rebellion. That's why they had the New Deal with Roosevelt. And they always put in their people. From then on, it's always someone that represents their interests, whether it's Obama or Bush, Bush 41, Bush 43, they had in Roosevelt, they had in Truman, and whatever it is, those people are in, they're representing you, but they represent those who rule at the very top.
Well, let's take the point where we are. Your points are well taken. What do you see with regard to the future of this, quote, democracy?
Well, as I see it, first of all, we know it's not a democracy. It's in no way does it represent the will of the people. I would say that it's going to get a lot worse because the future is the ruling class sees how effective it is by its policies that are in effect now. We're getting more and more billionaires, more and more multimillionaires, more and more, you know, single-digit millionaires, and people are getting poorer and poorer, and it's working for them. So, as I see it, as long as the people are well controlled or propagandized, some of us call it, they're going to continue until most of the people are in something like a Bangladesh, you see. They're going to drive people down into Bangladesh, USA. That's what they have in mind, because as you drive people down into a Bangladesh, USA, you enrich those at the top even more. So they're going to go down as far as they can go, and if there's any kind of sign of a rebellion, they're going to throw out the bones. And that's what they did during the Great Depression. They threw out the bones. And as you know, they have tried to take most of those bones back. So they have a good technique. They control the propaganda that controls the minds of the people, and they control the minds well, and especially with their chief technique was around phenotype, or we call it race. So that works very well for them, and people don't understand it. They're not educated to understand what's going on, and they can be easily controlled by continuing the system that controls the minds of people. So as long as people do not study, they don't study on their own. For example, how are you going to learn history going to the regular public school with those lousy textbooks, lying textbooks and whatnot? People have to start studying on their own and learning how a system works, doing independent research. As a matter of fact, it might be better for a lot of people not to go to the regular schools, homeschooling. Research on one's own would be important, because you certainly can't learn American history by going to a public school. They give you, you know, some kind of treatment. It's a propaganda treatment. And that goes for a lot of things. So the point is, it's going to be very tough. People are going to have to suffer a lot more because it's coming. The system that they have in effect is working well for them, and they're going to continue until a rebellion comes, and that's when you start throwing bones out, and that is, I believe, the technique they're going to use to control the people. The only thing that could change it, if they don't throw out enough bones and the rebellion gets out of hand. And that's the only chance the people have of changing things, because someone is winning like this, they're not going to voluntarily give up anything if they don't have to.
Well, thank you. Thank you, David. As always, very thought-provoking. Thanks a lot. We'll take a break now, and we'll come back in a short minute or two and continue the conversation. Remember, the number is 888-874-4888. listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead. We are taking our cues from Washington, what's happening in Washington with this effort to investigate the actions of the president and his administration in a number of scenarios that have come to our attention via the warnings of people who have said things about what is going on. They've been pointing an accusing finger at the president and several of his appointees. And we are seeing how the appointees have themselves mimicked the president in their actions of going way beyond their scope of duty, going way beyond their authority. And we are seeing being exposed because of whistleblowers, because of people who have a strong sense of service to the nation, people who are troubled by the unusual methods being used in the name of self-interest, and who have come forward, and in many cases they've put their lives on the line to tell what they know. It's a time of great, although it's not resonating this way, but it is a time of great peril for the nation. But we're not getting that kind of discussion. It's a time of great peril because we don't know what's going on. And the little that we know is not enough. It only begs that more be known about what is going on. It's a very perilous time for the country, and yet we are expected to be, calmed down by the fact that this is democracy in action. Congress is making some moves to ensure that democracy prevails. But of course, everybody knows this is not the deal here. We need to understand some deeper things about what is happening in this country today. Ed from Queens, what are you saying?
Yeah, good afternoon, Eutrice. How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Like I always say, I'm hanging on by my thumbs, but I'm still hanging. still hanging.
Well, hang on, Ed.
You got to hang on. You got to laugh to keep from crying, because it is a bloody mess. It is a bloody mess. And, what's going on in Washington right now, I think, is the culmination of all of the corruption that has taken place throughout the, at least as long as I've been alive, 50-some-odd years since I've been watching this government. It's been a progression, a lack of morals, a lack of decency, a lack of respect for humanity. And it's all boiling down to this. You have people who are corrupt pointing at another person who is ultimately corrupt and trying to dance around their own corruption to give some type of semblance of democracy, which this country has never been. But I disagree with David and the other callers as far as what people need to do and what people should do. I mean, to be totally honest with you, when you're trying to make it from day to day, you don't have time to do the diligent research that can bring you the enlightenment that you would need. But there's a gut feeling. You know when something's wrong. From the time I was a child, I always knew right from wrong. What I chose to do was my free will. But you know right from wrong. And that's the case. You feel this thing is wrong. You feel that this government is wrong. And it's time that the American people put some skin in the game and made a sacrifice. I mean, you look at China, you look at what's happening in South America. Not to say that there's got to be bloodshed, but there's got to be the force of will of the people. And it's happened in this country before. It has happened in this country before during the 1960s. It's happened in this country during the Great Depression. It's happened in this country. If you really look at history, even on a tertiary level, there have been revolts. There have been times when the populace has forced the powers that be to capitulate for the greater good. And the potential exists again, but we just can't let them make us feel so overwhelmed, so disconnected. I mean, this is your land. This is my land. This is our country. You got to put some skin in the game. You got to make a stand. And all the time it's not going to be violent, because I don't believe that someone with a shotgun can fight a tank. So, but if, like Martin Luther King said, the universe, the moral arc of the universe bends towards righteousness. And if we are persistent, I believe we can break their will and stop the powers that be from the control that they have over us. But you can't do it if you just look at them as they're some type of mythological giant monster. They're just men. They're just greedy men and women who want power, and we have the power. And once we believe that, then we'll be on the move.
So what are you getting personally out of the moment?
Well, I mean, it just goes to show you how corrupt the system is. It just goes to show you that I honestly believe there's no fixing this. I don't believe any election. I don't believe any type of quote-unquote democratic process will work, because this isn't a democracy. It never has been. At best, it's been a republic for a few people. And at its worst, it's an oligarchy, which it is now. I think the whole system needs to be trashed. And I think we've got to be brave enough to look beyond it and trash it.
Personally, how do you think that it is possible to be done, that process?
Well, it's going to take education. I mean, if you look at parallels in history, you see different times where, like in the 1960s, the revolutionary time then, because the climate was right, the population was young enough, and people wanted change. During the 1930s, the Great Depression, when mothers and children were dying in the streets and kids were dying in coal mines up in Appalachia. I mean, it takes a lot of pain to motivate people, unfortunately, in this world. And I don't think we've had enough of that pain yet. That's where I agree with David. It takes a lot of pain to motivate people. But once the pain has reached that apex point and you get a consensus of the population to resist, the powers that be won't have any choice, because there's not enough of them. There aren't that many rich people. True, they have a lot of the wealth and the capital, but there aren't that many of them. And if we can look past our petty differences, the concept of race, the concept of religious separation, all of those little idiosyncrasies that they put into our minds to separate us, and realize that everybody is connected. I mean, even in physics, you can see it. Everything's connected. Everything is called quantum entanglement. Everything affects another thing on the microcosm level and the macrocosm level. And I believe that's real. We're all connected. If I rise, you rise. But you got to believe that.
What, in your view, has happened? And I'm going to ask you to talk about it from the people side of it. We already kind of have a handle on the governing side of it, on the people side of it. What do you think has happened in these past couple of years?
I think that the people lost control. I think that the people bought into the illusion that wealth is equated with intelligence, or that wealth is equated with some type of social character or some type of quality. And wealth is not. Wealth is what it is. It's accumulation of things, accumulation of capital, accumulation of the idea of money. But it doesn't give you a character. It doesn't give you a soul. And I think that people have equated money, wealth, power with that, and think that these are the betters of us. And they're not. You know, I mean, they're just people who have, through birth or circumstance, have been put in a situation where they can acquire some capital. But it doesn't make them intelligent. It doesn't make them altruistic. It doesn't even qualify them for government. I mean, we've had political novices come up and get elected for offices that they have no business even. Donald Trump has no business being a dog catcher. Michael Bloomberg has no business being a PTA president, let alone president of the United States. They shouldn't even consider it, you know? And this society equates that wealth, like, oh, this person can make X amount of dollars in X amount of time or promote this or take advantage of this to make a profit, and that's something to be looked up to. And it's not. I mean, it just happenstance and circumstance puts you in the right position. But that doesn't make you a genius. That just makes you being in the right place at the right time. You were born on third base, and you think you hit a home run.
Right now,
no.
If the people were inclined to follow your advice, right this minute, what would they do?
Stop everything. Strike. Everybody just stop working. That's just the first one. Listen, we're not doing anything. We're not going to work. We're not going to school. We're not doing for one day, one week. Stop. Everything just stops. And then we'll see who's in control. If everybody could agree, just stop. Whole country, shut down. Boom. Years ago, when Reagan did that to a PACO, my father was a union rep for Pan American. And when he saw what Reagan did, he said, oh, get ready, because we're going to be up against it for a little while because nobody's going to work tomorrow. And he was shocked when this nation didn't go on strike. He was absolutely shocked because he said, prepare yourself because we're not going to have a lot because we're going to have to live on scraps because there's going to be a strike, a nationwide strike. And that's what needs to happen. You need to let what David called the powers that be or the ones in charge know you ain't got the power. We are the engines of capital. We produce. We make the goods. We provide the services. And if we decide to take that from you, screw you. You got no power. That's where your bullets are. That's where if nobody goes to the factory, nobody produces nothing. Then where's your wealth going to come from? Where's your power going to be? Money can't just be based on nothing.
Thanks, Ed from Queens. Quite a lecture today. Thank you. Well, this is the kind of conversation we need to have. And this is why I like to stress that we talk to each other. Because there are many great ideas floating around, except we don't know what they are. Because they're not presented in an arena where we can appreciate the points being made. And we have to encourage communication with each other more, you know, so that we can get to a place where we're comfortable with having ideas that may not be popular, but they are right. They're good. They're sound ideas. This situation going on in Washington, D.C., the fact that the country goes on day by day and it doesn't seem to be a major problem tells us that something else is doing a good job by not letting us in on the real truth of it. It is not so much about whether what Trump did and what this one did and what that one said. It is the fact that if things were working normally, if things were reasonably in order, we all would have an entirely different disposition right now. We would be very concerned. We would be very keen about trying to get to answers, workable answers. We'd be very keen on getting out of office those people who are causing a lot of misery in people's lives. But we are not there. We're not there yet. They're busy covering the quote news, unquote. The real news is that precisely at a moment where this whole country ought to be up in arms about moving expeditiously, the need of those who are governing to move expeditiously toward a solution, toward getting answers. They instead filming these things and broadcasting them as if that is the problem. It's not the problem. The problem is the country is teetering on the brink of a major disaster, which will not be easily solved. Thanks for listening. We come back to each other tomorrow. Thanks for your input today. Bye-bye.